Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, June 7th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, All Flight Paths Lead to Paris. From one day to the next, Edgar County Airport Manager Tom Tuttle doesn't know whom he will walk out to greet when planes land at the rural airport. I try to make it as friendly as possible, Tuttle said. I'm a people guy. If the weather is good, he will see a lot of pilots dropping in for fuel. I appreciate them stopping and buying fuel from us, he said. Two recent planes that stopped in had pilots from Danville, Indiana, about 45 minutes west of Indianapolis, and Vincennes, Indiana, in the southwest part of the state. Father and son, Rod and Josh Koch, who fly professionally for the Republic Airways and for United, American, and Delta Airlines, housed their plane at the airport. They said with a laugh that they don't get enough of flying at work. Josh said planes don't like to sit, so they like to fly theirs when possible. It's been about 2 weeks since their last flight. We went to Mattoon for breakfast and now coming back and just go home and be busy, Josh said about their day. I love coming out here. It's quiet, calm. Tom and Dave are as nice as can be. It's just great out here. It's a nice community. Rod said the plane was his father's. Rod, 58, has been flying since he was 18. It's fun. It's just kind of nice and peaceful, he said. Another pilot flying into the airport one recent morning was Sam Dent, 41, of Vincennes, Indiana. He was thankful for a bathroom pit stop. He's in a flight club and was flying a Mid-American Pilots Association plane from Lawrenceville. He's a student pilot and was building hours. He also owns a towing company. This is one of my favorite cross-country airports to fly to, Dent said. It's fairly close. There's little traffic usually when I come in. The nerves don't really get to me. He was enjoying the beautiful weather. He said he's wanted to get his pilot's license his whole life and had finally reached a point where he could do it. My wife finally pushed me through the door and said, get out there and do it, Dent said. The Edgar County Airport is located about a half mile off Illinois 1, about 6 miles north of the county seat, Paris. It's one of 112 general aviation public use airports in Illinois, but not one of the 12 commercial airports where you can buy a passenger plane ticket. It sees pilots stopping by to refuel with fuel available 24 hours a day and corporate planes that fly in and out to area businesses. Tuttle said they see people from Canada and throughout the U.S. We're in a flight path between, let's say, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which holds the big air show each year, he said. So we get a lot of Oshkosh traffic. By the same token, when they have the big sun and fun thing in Florida every spring, the Wisconsin, Minnesota, etc. come right through here. When you're flying cross-country, you don't want to go to Champaign, Terre Haute, Indiana. They're too big, Tuttle said. You can't get in there and get out quickly. For example, in Terre Haute, pilots have to call the tower for the fuel truck to be sent to them, which could take 30 or more minutes, he said. Small airports are crucial for people flying cross-country, he said. Tuttle said fuel prices also are low. They don't mark it up much. Compared to recent high gas prices for automobiles, aviation fuel at the Paris airport was at $4.99 a gallon, while in Terre Haute it's $7, he said. General aviation airports are critical for aviation, even though they don't sound like they're important. They are, Tuttle said. The Edgar County Airport was completed in 1974 and is county-owned. There are airport authorities, which are their own taxing bodies. We are a subsidiary of the Edgar County taxing body, Tuttle said. we get our money from them to operate on. Some airports are privately owned, but very few. So you have municipal, city-owned, county-owned, and independent taxing bodies. The airport includes an office building, a couple hangars, a main east-west runway that is 4,500 feet long, and a secondary north-south runway that is 3,200 feet long. There is also a fuel system with two big tanks with jet fuel and 100-octane aviation fuel. Half of the main hangar is rented out to a crop duster. The airport's source of income are selling fuel and renting farmland and hangars. Its hangars are full with 17 planes based there. Airport projects mostly are funded by the Federal Aviation Administration, 90%, with 5% coming from the state and 5% from local governments. The Paris airport resurfaced its main east-west runway 2 years ago and the main taxiway 4 years ago. Tuttle said the airport owns about 360 acres in total, including farmland. He said the airport is not entirely self-sufficient, but close to it. Its annual budget is $82,000. Employees are Tuttle and one full-time maintenance person. Tuttle said the airport also hosts a group of farmers who meet for coffee every morning. Tuttle, 76, a Paris native, became manager 10 years ago when it needed someone to fill in temporarily and has been in the role since. In 2016, he retired from Cargill, where he flew the corporate plane. "I like it. It's fun," he said. "Pilots are the nicest people you will meet." He said about 5 years ago, a woman who flew in from Canada to get fuel realized once at the pump that she left her purse with her credit cards at a previous airport and couldn't pay. Tuttle said he told her not to worry and to send a check when she got back home. She told him that wouldn't be for 30 days. She later sent the check and nice letter. "Things like that make you feel good about being alive," Tuttle said. "Pilots, by and large, are just wonderful people." Their biggest public event at the airport is a 6-week period from July 1 to August 15, when crop dusting is in full force. "We might have 8 crop dusters out here on the ramp at one time, 8 different planes with their support vehicles," he said. "Their support vehicles have fuel and chemical in them. When that crop duster lands, they don't shut the engine off. They're very noisy. It's a propeller plane with a jet engine driving the propeller." He said the landings are like an Indianapolis 500 pit stop, with 2 people refilling chemical tanks and another cleaning the windshield. The pilot never gets out. "So it's kind of exciting. People come out and watch that," Tuttle said. "It's pretty neat." The airport can also host summer programs for youth or a church group. There are currently no air shows. The airport also hosts a weather station whose readings are used by local news outlets to report local temperatures, wind speeds, and rain totals. Tuttle says the airport has a 10-year plan that's flexible, and they try to follow it as funding is available. He said they try to do at least one project a year, but that's not always possible. This summer's project is to get big windsocks to replace a wind tee to show wind direction. "It's a critical business, though, for a small town," Tuttle added, about business people flying in to visit local factories. Those can include Cargill, North American Lighting, Rural King, and Bex Seed Company. Tuttle said he's loved living in Paris. He served on the school board for 16 years, played on the Paris High School basketball team, and is in the Athletic Hall of Fame. His dad was a coach at the school in the 1950s, and his mom served as city clerk and city manager for many years. And continuing with Paris news, we have native Parisians show off hometown pride. Paris. Not many cities with a population under 10,000 have a song named after them. but Paris, Illinois does, thanks to native son Brett Eldridge, a country singer, who penned a heartfelt ode to his hometown. The lyrics include, "Hear the wind chimes, see the moonshine. Cane poles by the lake always seem to call to me when my soul needs a break. Well, the geese fly to the sunrise. If I had my choice, I'd be in Paris, Illinois." While many know about Eldridge being from Paris, not as many are familiar with another famous celebrity from the Edgar County city of about 8,000, nor how it got its name. A famous child actor born in Paris is Carl Alfalfa Switzer from the Our Gang, Little Rascals series. He was born in 1927 and died in 1959 at 31 years old. One can see photos of the young child star and learn more about his life inside the Edgar County Historical Society building on Main Street in Paris. The county also has been home to a Nobel Prize winner, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, and one of the nation's first female brigadier generals, Teresa Pennington, who previously spent 40 years at the Paris Public Library and retired as director in 2023, now volunteers as a genealogy librarian at the Edgar County Genealogy Library inside the Edgar County Historical Society and Museum. She's a sixth generation Paris native and loves her hometown. Edgar County was named for John Edgar, one of its first judges, and Paris is the county seat. Pennington said, "The county was formed in 1823 when Samuel Vance bought about 160 some acres from the U.S. government. 26 of those acres were donated near the center for the town of Paris. There are a couple dozen communities named Paris in the U.S., and how Paris, Illinois, got its name is kind of up for grabs," Pennington said. "Everybody assumes that it was named after Paris, Kentucky," she said, "because a lot of its settlers were from there. This is not known, really. Nobody wrote it down. But in the center of this area that was donated, there was a jack oak tree, and Paris was carved in the trunk." Pennington said, "The question is, did somebody carve it in the trunk after it was named Paris?" She said she read that the courthouse's elevator, which is in the center of the building, has a star on its floor that is supposed to represent the location of the tree. The first house was a log house built by Smith Shaw. Abraham Lincoln practiced law in Paris. The first commercial building was a storehouse built by Milton K. Alexander on Main Street, with his house nearby that's now an art gallery. Paris was incorporated in 1849 and became a city in 1869. Some of the bigger businesses were U.O. Colson, a nationally known manufacturer of advertising items like calendars and paper fans, shoe and broom factories, and McGuire Cummings, which made streetcars. The Arthur House, given to the Edgar County Historical Society by Lena Arthur in the 1970s, was built in 1876 by Henry Clay Moss and is on the National Register of Historic Places. Construction is taking place this year to expand the current next-door historical museum to house larger vintage farm equipment. Continuing on the second page with Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at Dave's Double Barrel Barbecue in Westville, World War II veteran Walter Rommerskirchen will celebrate his 103rd birthday in the best way imaginable. "Sharing experiences with family and friends is the best gift anyone can give me," he said. The party will include four generations of family, as well as many friends and service members. "He'd love to see you there." Romy served in the U.S. Air Force from 1943 to 46, ensuring combat crews could fly critical missions in B-25 Mitchell bombers. From his posts at Morris Field in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Moody Air Force Base in Valdosta, Georgia. After he was discharged, Romy moved to Danville to work for General Electric, where he met the love of his life. He was married for 73 wonderful years to Doris, who passed away earlier this year. Their secret to wedded bliss, decades of shared laughter, friends, faith, and late-night prayers, and separate checking accounts. July 4 will be just as festive for Romy, a diehard St. Louis Cardinals fan. His daughter, Connie White, said Dad will be sure to watch that night's fireworks between his favorite team and the rival Cubs, in addition to taking in parades and musical performances to celebrate our freedom and those that have served. And continuing in history, area history, in 1926, the First Baptist Church of Urbana is preparing to celebrate the construction of an annex for religious education. One of the oldest members of the church, J.S. Hall, who has shown a keen interest in the planned annex, will turn over the first shovelful of dirt on Tuesday afternoon. The following morning, contractor Don Mason will begin excavation work. He hopes to have the building completed in the early fall. In 1976, a downtown redevelopment plan that would include the preservation of the Urbana-Lincoln Hotel building has been proposed to the Urbana City Council by Busey First National Bank. Under the plan, the bank would move from its Main Street location and occupy either the first floor of the hotel building or a new structure that would be built immediately north of the building. The new structure would be styled to conform with the English Tudor design of the hotel building. The plan also calls for the relocation of University of Illinois World Heritage Museum to the hotel building. In international history, today's highlight: on June 6, 1944, during World War II, nearly 160,000 Allied troops landed in Normandy, France on D-Day as they launched Operation Overlord to liberate German-occupied Western Europe. More than 4,400 Allied troops were killed on D-Day, including 2,501 Americans. On this date, in 1844, the Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA, was founded in London. In 1889, an industrial accident sparked a devastating fire in Seattle, Washington, destroying 120 acres of the city center, including the majority of the city's commercial district and waterfront. In 1939, the first Little League baseball game was played as Lundy Lumber defeated Lycoming Dairy 23-8 in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And from our communities, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District has an article titled "Alleged Ransomware Attack Under Investigation. Officials Yet to Say What Data, If Any, Was Breached." This is by Jana Wersima, Champaign. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is investigating a cyber event, and so is a Chicago-based law firm, which is offering legal services to affected community members. Barnow and Associates is looking into, quote, a potential breach of customer data, unquote, at the health district, and said those who have received data breach notifications may be eligible to join a class action suit. Cyber criminals are claiming responsibility for a ransomware attack on the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, the firm wrote in a June 2nd post on its website. The full scope is still being determined. The health district has issued the following statement. CUPHD is aware of the posting from Barnow and Associates. We are currently investigating this cyber event, and due to the ongoing nature of our investigation, cannot comment on the specifics. Barnow and Associates declined to answer questions from the News-Gazette, stating it does not comment on ongoing investigations or litigation. Ransomware.live, an online threat intelligence platform, estimated that the attack on the health district occurred on Monday and attributed the activity to INC ransom. The site described the group as a prolific ransomware as a service operation that targets healthcare, government, education, and manufacturers. The health district's website was previously hacked by ransomware in March 2020. Officials said at the time that no personal information was accessed. The report of a potential new breach at the health district comes 1 month after a cyber attack on learning management system Canvas disrupted finals at thousands of higher education institutions, including the University of Illinois. And in healthcare, article titled VA Opening Champaign Clinic This Monday, this also by Jana Wersima, Champaign. A new Veterans Affairs clinic is set to open in Champaign, enabling local veterans to receive care closer to home. The clinic at 1702 South Mattis Avenue, Suite 101, will begin providing patient care Monday, said Stacy Williams, Executive Director of VA Ileana Healthcare System in Danville. The opening of this new clinic strengthens VA's presence in the region and brings high-quality healthcare services closer to veterans in Champaign County and surrounding communities, Williams said. The clinic, developed in partnership with Carle Health, will be open from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. weekdays, according to the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. The Ileana Healthcare System serves more than 29,000 veterans in a 34-county area spanning central Illinois and west central Indiana, per the health system's website. In addition to the Danville Medical Center, previously the closest option for veterans in Champaign-Urbana, the system also includes community-based outpatient clinics in Bloomington, Decatur, Mattoon, Peoria, and Springfield. Carle announced the collaboration on the local clinic in late March, stating that the VA Ileana team will deliver all primary care services at this location. And continuing with, from the Urbana City Council, 8 apply to succeed late Ward 5 alderman. This is by Jana Wersima. Urbana. 8 applicants have thrown their hats in the ring to fill a vacant seat on the Urbana City Council, including the leader of a local nonprofit focused on supporting minority families. Stephanie Cockrell, executive director of the Well Experience, is among the applicants to represent Ward 5, according to information obtained by the News-Gazette through a Freedom of Information Act request. She joins a field that includes Stephen Bateman, Samuel Peters, Sheldon Lashley, Adam Ruggieri, Alexander Cohen, Meadow Jones, Sophia Winkler Shore, former Wide Ward 5 Alderwoman Chandra Bishop, died June 1, a little over a month after resigning her seat over health concerns. She had been living with a rare form of cancer called cholangiocarcinoma for the last 10 years. The truth is, I would not be in this role today if it weren't for you, your friendship, your guidance, and your belief in me, Mayor Deshaun Williams said in a tribute to Alderwoman Bishop on social media. You saw something in me before I saw it in myself, and I will be forever grateful for that. I promise you this, we will keep showing up for you, the work will continue, the impact you made will keep rippling forward through all of us. Applications to represent Alderwoman Bishop's ward, which is located in Northeast Urbana, closed Wednesday night. Under state law, Williams has up to 60 days from the date of Alderwoman Bishop's resignation in late April to recommend an appointment to the council, city officials said. The council will then have 30 days to vote on the appointment. Alderwoman Bishop's replacement will serve until the next consolidated election in April 2027. And continuing with Kathy Reiser's mailbag, local kickoff for America's 250th set for June 13th. Mary Butzow, a volunteer at the Champaign County History Museum, dropped me a note about an early Flag Day ceremony set for 2 p.m. on June 13th in the parking lot just east of the Champaign County History Museum at First and University in Champaign. Butzow said, "It started out as a flag raising and has morphed into an event that kicks off Champaign County's celebration of America's 250th birthday, or semi-quincentennial, if that's your preference. Dr. Lindsay Andrews will offer brief opening remarks, and then the Sweet Adelines, an a cappella women's barbershop chorus, will sing the national anthem and a few other selections. The St. Joseph American Legion Color Guard will conduct the flag lowering and raising, and Champaign Mayor Deb Finan will read the semi-quincentennial proclamation. A special reading of the Declaration of Independence will highlight the approximately 30-minute program. Readers will include Natalie Walters, representing youth, Dr. Nestor Ramirez, representing naturalized citizens, Marguerite Carter, representing educators, and Robert Holloway, representing veterans. Please note that while the official Flag Day holiday is always June 14, this observance will be held the day before, on Saturday, June 13. The Champaign County History Museum, 102 East University Avenue, Champaign, will be open before and after the program from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visitors are invited to park across First Street in the lot near the Champaign Police Station. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, June 7th, 2026. Please stay tuned.